Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
Third lesson of the church covenant. So we started it last week. We had our introduction, and then we got a little bit further into it. I'd encourage you, I won't do much review. We do not have time to be as we've covered. But if you missed any of the previous information that we've provided about the church covenant, or you would like to go back for notes or study purposes, they are on the church's website. Westwood, all of our archive services, though the first two lessons of the church covenant are available there, and I'd encourage you, if you had missed those, to go back and watch them. Every member of a New Testament church that holds to and abides by this covenant needs to stand its contents. They need to understand the responsibility that they have to fulfill the pledge or the vows that they have made to this body of Christ. That's the purpose of this document. We won't review, but remember, this document is not inspired by the Holy Spirit in his writings. This isn't some additional word from God. This is something drafted by man, but it is drawn from the principles of God's word as a summary to help encapsulate what our responsibilities are as a member of the church, what we need to fulfill, what we vowed to do. And so these are biblical principles, and we've looked at verses to support each of the statements thus far. For the reading this morning, we may not be able to examine the text of every verse because of time, but we will provide its location. If you miss a location, don't hesitate to interrupt the class with a hand raise, and I will repeat it. Then you can always go back and watch it again later. So I'd like to begin just by reading the full church covenant and remind you that in layman's terms, what happened shortly after the Declaration of Independence was written is they bound together and said, we need a very clear outline document that details what it means to be a member of New Testament church. And so they decided, in layman's terms, let's pledge, let's vow together to do what we have been called to do as a church body by God. So that's the purpose of this document, is not adding any additional responsibilities outside of Scripture, but just to highlight, well, what they contain. So the church covenant reads as follows. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. That is the sacred vow that every member makes, one to another, before God, to uphold what the Bible has to say about being a member. So where we're at in our place for the covenant this morning is the section that speaks about to sustain its worship, ordinances, disciplines, and doctrine. To sustain means to give support or to provide for the support of, to maintain, or, put very simply, to cause to continue. to keep from sinking or giving away. That's what it means to sustain, to cause, to continue, to keep from the drawing back. It's a continuance of impact, if we could summarize it this way. And I'm turning this mic on for just a moment, because let me give you a very real illustration of this. And if Brother Gary Noel was here, he would love it, I'm sure. But many of y'all that are familiar with the piano, you understand it has some pedals at the bottom. One of these pedals is known as the sustain pedal. So this should be a very vivid and real illustration for what it means to sustain the things, the four principles that were mentioned. If we were to play a note on the piano, it would cause an impact on the strings and you would feel its effect. For example, there was an impact, you felt it, but it came and went just like so. When you hold down the sustain pedal, even though the operator applies the same pressure, the same force, in the same manner, now that same impact, I do nothing different. It's merely that now this impact is sustained. That stays with you a lot longer. It creates a greater impact. This is what it's referred to when it speaks that we engage to sustain some things. It means that as a church, the four principles that we're about to discuss, instead of having an effect on us and the world like this, we then go about our way forgetting what we've heard. It is rather a continuation. So that's the thought about sustaining. So what do we sustain as a church? Well, I'm glad you asked. The church covenant documents it right here.
It's ordinances, it's discipline, and it's doctrine. This is what we vow or we pledge to make sure sustains or continues to make an impact. These four different areas we will examine, beginning with worship. And to sustain the worship, one must participate in the worship. I could hold down the sustain pedal on the piano all I want, but if no keys are struck, there will be no impact. So there is a pledge or a promise to aid the continued impact of worship. And we do this, we can put it into three categories: by presence, by purpose, and by practice. And if we neglect any one of these three, well, our worship isn't. If we are present and we practice it, but it's in the wrong purpose, it's not proper worship. Likewise, if we have the right purpose in our heart, and we do practice it privately, but we never join together corporately as one church body to worship, well, that worship of the church is absent. Your private worship may be present, but not our worship as a church. And so you get the idea. We need all three elements of this to have scriptural. To worship is to do honor, homage, or reverence towards God. So for our presence, one must be present to help sustain the worship of the church. One ought to be here when the doors are open, unless they are absolute. And I have talked with some people this week that are here today, and they weren't here earlier in the week. They were in. I've seen some people that are not with us today, or I've spoke to them on the phone, that want to be here, but they cannot. They are absolutely hindered. They are either away from us, they are hospitalized, they are at home, ill, unable to leave. They are hindered from. An example of being hindered from attending when we set aside the time to gather together does not include, well, I'd rather be out fishing. Or if we really want to plow close to the corn. Now don't get mad at me. I didn't write this, and you promised this. Not me. I'm just reminding you what you vowed to do. There is one who decides that Sunday morning gathering is enough for them, is not hindered from meeting at the other scheduled or appointed times. There is no part of the church covenant that is focused on what you want to do. Why would you need a covenant if you're just going to do what you want to do? But rather, it is what you vow to do, even if you don't feel like it. I just don't feel like coming to church today. You are not absolutely hindered from coming to church. You just don't want to. That is breaking a sacred vow made, as we read in the covenant, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, to sustain the worship of this church. For the church to have worship, the members of its body need to be present.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.